I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Morning, Brother
Keith. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Our faith in God, I'm talking about, it operates by definable, measurable laws. He even talks about the law of faith, and he talks about the law of life in Christ Jesus. He talks about the law of sin and death. A law is something that works the same way every time, everywhere, for everybody. And so this thing about, you know, God just decides to favor some with faith and some he doesn't, and we don't know why, and or, you know, with provision or healing or the Holy Spirit, and we just don't know why that he doesn't do the same for everybody. No, it's not all up to God. We have a part to play in him. And where your faith is concerned, if you starve your faith and you feed your fear, that works like a law. I mean, the law of gravity works.
Yes.
Whether you believe in it, or whether you don't, or whether you agree with it or not, it don't matter what color you are, what if you're male or female, it don't matter if you're old or young or what language you speak, jump off the house, what happens? It don't matter who you are. Is that right? You don't go up. Jump off the house, boom, you go down. Because it's a law. Well, the same thing is true. It doesn't matter where you're from, your background. If you will feed your measure of the God kind of faith with faith food from God, it will stir up and begin to blossom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you will keep watering it with the water of the word, and then if you will, when the Lord prompts you, you'll do what he prompts you. You declare and speak faith and confess faith. And then when he directs you to do something, you do it in faith. Then your faith will begin to come out of a dormant state, come out of hibernation, and it'll begin to wake up and go, somebody been feeding me. And it will begin to reach out further, and your vision will expand. And what formerly you wouldn't even dare think about, you begin to realize, God could do that. God could do that. Next thing you know, you'll be saying, God is doing that.
Amen.
I'm laying hold, and you will. It doesn't matter where you're from or how far you had to come to get to there. It will work for you. Amen. Say it out loud. It'll work for me.
It'll work for me.
It is working for me.
It is working for me.
Now, see, that's what I'm leading you to say at every beginning of class. We start off saying, my spirit is fed. Not could be, not I wish it would be, not for a few percent of the class. No. My spirit is being fed in this class today.
Yes.
It's getting a boost.
Amen.
My spirit is getting a quickening, not just from Brother Keith, from the Word, from the anointed, it is written. And because that quickens my heart and my inner man, that's the part of my being that I have faith with. With the heart, man believes, so immediately my faith is impacted. Right?
Yes.
And because my mind's a part of this too, I need to be renewed in my mind and my thinking. I'm learning how to be an overcomer.
Yes.
I'm learning, quit doing that, quit saying that, do this.
Yes.
Right? and the Lord showing me the answers of how to live victoriously every day, every area, every way. Somebody say, that's me. That's happening in my life. Go with me, if you would, to Acts, the second chapter. And we're continuing today in our study now of 40 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. We're down to reason number 30 in this study, and we're calling it the beginning days of the church. And why is this relevant to us? Because we are a part of the same church. Our lives, the happening in our lives and churches is supposed to look and sound like the book of Acts. If it's not, don't try to make some excuse why it's okay to be short of this. Don't water down the word to match your lack of experience. Believe God to elevate your experience. Come on, y'all with me. To match the word. Because the enemy is the thief. If we're missing or coming short of living and functioning like they did in these pages, it's not because God changed. Don't say he did. It's not because he's a respecter of persons. And like these foolish things that some people say, well, you know, when the last apostle died, you know, all that ceased. They needed that to get the church started. You think we don't need what was going on then as much now as they did? God gave us the pitiful abilities of men and scholastics as a replacement for Holy Spirit manifestation? I don't think so. How about you? No, I don't want that, that sad replacement. I want the original.
Amen.
I want the same thing because you know God hasn't changed. And so you see in the second chapter of Acts, in the beginning, verses of it, they were all in one place, in one accord. And you'll find, we keep seeing this reference to this togetherness, to this unity. Now, it bears repetition because if you don't have that, you're not going to have some of the other things. Which is also an answer. You'd say, well, we don't have some of the things that we read about that have. Well, how about the unity? How about the love walk? How about the faith? How about the emphasis on the Holy Spirit? You know, you can't fight the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and say, well, I don't believe in those tongues. I don't believe in that, you know, revelation. I don't believe in that healing and all that. Well, you just took out 2/3 of the book. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, if you don't believe in it, the Lord's not going to cram it down your throat. You're not going to have it. You're not going to be bothered with it. But don't say he changed. And don't say it's passed away. That's not true. But you'll see that the enemy has been far too effective in splintering the church and keeping some kind of strife, some kind of fussing, some kind of fighting, some kind of competition and fear, which shows the extreme babyhood stage. It does, of the people involved. Because when you grow up, you stop doing all that petty stuff. And you quit making a big deal out of something that's not a big deal. We need to make the main thing the main thing, right?
Yes.
And the other little things, like my dad used to tell me, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yes.
And then he'd say, most of it's small stuff. A lot of it is. Well, in Acts 2, we see that after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, verse 44, at the end of the chapter, all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is a generosity of spirit. This is a characteristic of people who are not governed by the flesh, but who are full of the Spirit. Yes. Being full of the Spirit is a lot more than speaking in tongues once in a while. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Being full of the Spirit is being full of these things. And the first one is love. Well, if you're full of love, you're not selfish. And if you're full of faith, you're not fearful. And if you care about other people and you're not afraid of running out, then you're generous.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yes.
You're liberal.
Yes.
And it wasn't just a handful of people that were liberal. The whole church. We're just free givers. Does that sound like God? Does that sound?
Yes.
And as the result of that, the people didn't have lack. They didn't have need. If you skip over to the fourth chapter, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, because this is exactly what we're talking about. When they had prayed, so the a right church is a praying church. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were what?
Filled.
All filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Being full of the Spirit delivers you from timidity.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Delivers you from being scared.
Yes.
And you get bold. Now, bold doesn't mean pushy. It doesn't mean demanding. It doesn't mean arrogant. You're bold because you're sure.
Yes.
Sure. If you're not sure, you're like, you know, the volume is down.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, could be, but maybe not. If you're sure and you're bold, there's no need to whisper about it.
Right.
And you go, no, this is it. This is it. This is true. This is the way. And so they spoke the word of God with boldness, and so what he's saying now and connects the previous part with what he's about to say, and he's about to talk about everybody's needs being met materially and financially. He connects that with being full of the Spirit,
yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
And speaking the word with boldness. He said, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Is that unity again?
Yes.
Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. One of the things that you'll see, even little ones, they learn a word when they barely know how to talk or walk. Mine. Right?
Yeah.
Mine. Well, that's not a normal spiritual good thing. That's a characteristic of the darkness of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fear thing that leave mine alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take mine, then I lose mine, or I can't have mine, or I can't have another. But faith delivers you from that.
Yes.
Faith causes you to realize that is not my life and that is not my source. And where that came from, there's a whole lot more. And so you don't emphasize it's mine. Mine. When you're thinking right, And the love is there and the faith is there, you'll do whatever the Lord tells you with material things. It's freely I've received, freely I give, right?
Yes.
You're like a conduit. You're like a pipe line.
Yes.
And it's flowing in and it's flowing out.
Yes.
And you know the thing about a pipe that's always flowing in and flowing out? Is always full, right? In the center section. So they had that revelation and they had that freedom that none of them said, aught of the things which he possessed was his own, the mine. They had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why mention that in the middle of the giving? It all goes together. The preaching of the gospel requires finances, right? All of it goes together. And it says, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Now, you might want to underline that. Neither was there what?
Any.
How many?
Any.
Huh? They had the poverty level down to 14%. Huh? What?
Zero.
Of course, we're only talking about a small church, right? Huh? All 35 people were. Yeah. No, we talked about that in earlier classes. At this point, already, there were tens of thousands and then scores of thousands. And how many were broke? How many couldn't feed their kids? Or not a one. Am I reading the New Testament?
Yes.
Am I talking about the New Testament church?
Yes.
This doesn't get any closer to our application than this. We are a part of the same church, same Spirit, same Jesus, same gospel, same. Is it God's will for His church today to be free of lack?
Yes.
Is it still the will of God?
Yes.
That there would be not any among us? Or has it got too big for the Lord to take care of?
No.
Huh? Because this thing has gotten into the millions now. And of course, are you joking? Everybody on the planet, every believer on the planet could lay hold and believe for $1 billion.
Yes.
Now. God could do it.
Yes.
And the lights in heaven wouldn't even flicker. Wouldn't even wouldn't be a flicker. He makes stars. It's the enemy that's always trying to get you in your seeing to narrow and to get into some kind of fear of running out. We won't have it. We won't have enough. We're going to come short. And that's when you go, mine, mine. And when you do this, you choke off yourself. Because with the heart, man believes. With the heart, man receives. And the same opening in your heart that you give out of, that's how much capacity you have to receive. Can you see that?
Yes.
That's not just my idea. What did Jesus say? With the same measure.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
That you meet. That's how it'll be measured to you. Paul even said to the church at Corinth, because they were thinking wrong, listening to some wrong voices. He said, your heart's closed on me. He said, my heart's open to you. And he talked about that when their faith was increased, we're all going to be enlarged, he said. And we're going to reach further and with more. Our heart is the limiting part. How fearful we are, and then how tight and how restrictive, or how believing and how liberal our giving and our heart and our thinking is. There's a freedom.
Yes.
I said there's a freedom that comes when you know I'm not my source.
Yes.
Other people are not my source.
Yes.
The Creator of the heavens and the earth,
yes,
is my source.
Yes.
I will never run out.
Right.
Ever. Isn't that the same as saying the Lord's my shepherd?
Yes.
I shall not want.
Yes.
Come on, somebody say God.
God.
The unlimited God.
The unlimited God.
The unfailing God.
The unfailing God.
Is my source.
Is my source.
I will never run out.
I will never run out.
I will never run out. I'll never run out. You need to resist the enemy, because he will come to you with thoughts and feelings. You're not going to make it. You're not going to have enough. You're going to come short. You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to not make it all the way. You won't be able to finish. You won't be. He's a liar.
Yes, he is.
But he's persistent, and he brings those thoughts, and he will just try to bombard you with them night and day. And that's where the good fight of faith comes in. You got to just keep swatting them down and throwing them down. Amen. And saying, uh-uh, no, God takes care of me.
Amen.
We will not run out. We will eat good.
Yes.
We will wear good.
Yes.
We will live good.
Yes.
And we will give.
Yes.
I said, we will give.
Yes.
Good.
Good.
And that's what these guys were doing. He said, neither was there any among them that lacked. I want to hear you say that a few times. Neither was there any.
Neither was there any
among them
that lacked.
How many?
None.
How many people are we talking about?
Scores of thousands.
Scores of thousands. Hmm? How many?
None.
Now, are you thinking with me or not?
Yes.
20,000 people.
Yeah.
40,000 people.
Okay.
That's a lot of kids.
Yes.
That's a lot of families, right? That's a lot of, huh?
Yes.
Our mortgages, apartment rent,
mm-hmm.
you know, gas for the donkey, whatever it might be, right? I mean, it, in every generation, in every segment of society, there's stuff. That's a lot of stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
How much money does it take to run, you know, 10,000 families, 50,000 people? You know, how much money does it take every day? Huh?
Yes.
Does that bother God? Does
no.
that, you know, cause him to take a step back and go, whew, that's getting on up there? No. That's us.
Yes.
And that means you need mind renewal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because God is not restricted. He is not limited. I knew one time years ago in the early days of the ministry, the numbers were getting a little bit bigger, and I was having to renew my mind. And I said, Lord, how much should I try to believe for on this? And he spoke to my heart. He said, Keith, he said, it's not up to my ability. I can do, and he gave me amount, and it was just blow your ears off amount. And he said, I could do that by lunch without making a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not up to what I can do. What can you believe? What will you reach out for? And see, that's the thing. Didn't Jesus tell people, according to your faith?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say that?
Yes.
As you have believed. We don't receive according to what God can do.
Yeah.
We receive according to our belief. Well, your believing is directly connected to your heart. And that's why we start off the class by saying, hey, I'm going to feed my spirit. I'm going to exercise my heart. I'm going to get my mind renewed. Why? Because that's the choke point on how much we can receive, how much God is able to do in our lives. And so they got by the Holy Spirit filling them and affecting their thinking and affecting their vision of everything. They got to the place where they believed everybody can be fully supplied.
Yeah.
Somebody say everybody.
Everybody.
Now, in the church,
mm-hmm. right.
Because if you don't accept Jesus as Lord, we're not talking to you, sadly. But everybody in the church can and should be fully supplied to the end that there is no lack. Say it again. Neither
was there any
among them that lacked. How many?
Zero.
Among scores of thousands. Come on, put yourself there. If it was your job in the church and they said, we want you to check everybody and see if they're okay and see if they're able to pay their bills and their kids are eating everything, how long would it take you to check on 50,000 people? Huh? Put a lot of miles on your donkey, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd be riding through the villages and the neighborhoods and you're stopping and you say, well, how's it going? You know, the apostles sent me to check on y'all. Are your bills paid? Have you got plenty to eat? And every place you stopped. Yes. Does this sound good or not?
Yes.
Every place you stopped. They said, oh, man, yeah. Oh, kids got new clothes, new shoes, new sandals, right? Got some new stuff for the donkey and the cart. And house is good. And bills are paid. No, we're good. We're caught up. We're ahead. Everybody. Is this a random thing in the scripture here? Why are we told this? And then some people turn around and say, yeah, but it might be God's will for you to go through some hard times and lack to teach you some things to develop your piety and godliness. No, that's dumb men's religious ideas trying to explain why something is that way. And assuming that everything that happens is somehow the will of God. No, the Word is the will of God.
Amen.
That's the will of God. And that's not going to change. And He's no respecter of persons. Say it out loud. If that was His will, it still is His will.
If it was His will for them,
it's His will for us.
No lack.
Is His will
for us all.
No lack
is His will
for me.
For me.
Does that sound like what we've been saying through all these points?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Abundant provision is always God's will for us all.
Amen.
Neither was there any among them that lacked. I think I could just say that the rest of the day.
Yes.
Huh? Does it make you happy?
Yes.
It makes me happy.
Yes.
I'm reading in the New Testament
yes.
about the New Testament church.
Yes.
Same Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Same gospel.
Yes.
Same will of God then. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Hallelujah. Verse 35 says, they distributed to every man according as he had need. All the multiplied thousands were just full of the Spirit, full of God, full of love, and full of provision. Well, our time's up again. Said out loud, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For taking care of me.
For taking care of me.
We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.